Oh.
All right, guys. So before we get into this interview with Insomniac Rari and Insomniac Lambs, I just want to say that if you want to support No Jumper, head on over to nojumper.com and check out our online store. We got all kinds of stuff on there. No Jumper branded stuff. We got shirts from all kinds of different brands that we work with. We got stickers. We got Leonard the Plug stickers. We got kendamas, if you ever wanted one. You can head on over there. We got the, I don't know, we got all kinds of stuff. Show some love, pick up some cool stuff. Head on over to nojumper.com. That helps us make this podcast possible. And also smash the like button and leave a comment and subscribe. Let's go. No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today we have a returning No Jumper alumni, Insomniac Lambs. And we got a new face to No Jumper, but somebody I'm a big fan of. Insomniac Rari, how you guys doing?
I'm in here lit as fuck.
Are you really?
No, I'm real lit. Great.
Big lit.
I mean, we got this empty bottle of Hennessy.
Y'all already know what I did to that, man. Niggas know how I'm giving it up.
I threw man at somebody.
Hennessy is just one of those brands that just won't go away, huh?
Never.
Never. It's like a religion.
Nah, it's definitely Hennessy is definitely a legend.
What was the first thing you ever drank though?
Hypnotic.
Real? Oh, that's a sign of the times right there.
Yeah, no. Hypnotic was the first liquor I ever tried in my life.
Really?
Definitely.
How old were you?
13 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hypnotic, man. So what do you if you brought a girl back to the crib now and tried to give her Hypnotic, what's she gonna think? Is she gonna think you're a fucking piece of shit, or is she gonna be like, all right?
You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm a bit crippin', you know what I'm saying? So
he gotta have a
blue drink on
big
me, you know
blue.
What I'm saying? You pour it up, man. You might dig it, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, is that a big thing? Is drinking Hypnotic in the crib community? Is that big?
It will be.
Yeah, you could start that. Yeah, that's a good point.
I could. Yeah. I definitely could.
Damn, I never thought about it like that. Yo, hey, I just want to say before we even get started here that this podcast is sponsored by Nexus Cannabis Co. This is our weed sponsor for the podcast. I don't think we're going to actually be smoking on camera just because, you know, we're all about high energy podcasting. We don't want to get too slumped
Shout
up. We're
going to
save it for after, but we are drinking big Starbucks. But Nexus,
big Starbucks.
You know, it's a, you ever been there? It's the lounge downtown. It's on 4th Street.
No.
They have a bunch of shows. We did a Chief Keef show there. We did a Juicy J show there. They have like a studio there. I could get you guys in there. It's
Definitely
dope. They'll let you use it and stuff. They had a little pump in there. Migos, Chief Keef the other day. It's basically just top shelf weed that will make you slumped into a coma and your whole life will fall apart because it'll get you so fucking high. That's basically all I got to say about it. For real though, I'm going to bring you guys to the studio. It's fire.
Let's do it. Definitely.
Let's do it. All right, back to the interview. All right, so you guys are from, I'm on the wrong interview. I was about to start asking Jose Guapo questions. That would be really tragic. So Southside Columbus. Is that this is where both of you guys are from, or are you from somewhere else?
He's from Columbus. I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
2 hours away from each other.
2 hours. All right. So you found out about him because he was popping, rapping a little bit. He had his little wave going, or did you guys meet before the rap stuff?
Yeah. When I met him, he was just going crazy on the music scene. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what was that like? You just reach out to him on the internet, or what was going
on? No, I had moved down to Cincinnati.
Okay.
And then when I moved down to Cincinnati, I had met him. Through Mills.
Another.
Yeah, I met him through Mills.
Other member,
Insomniac
Mills.
Yeah, Insomniac
exactly.
Mills.
That's what's up. So, what was it like when you guys linked up?
It was cool. It was like a mutual bond. It was it was instant for real.
You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people you meet in Ohio, they just not like some of them just not real niggas. So like when I had met Lambs and Mills, it's like they was really the niggas that they said they was. You feel me? So it wasn't no complication. You know what I'm saying? Like. It was really getting to it, and that's something I was all about at the time. So it's like, it was definitely 100. You know what I'm saying?
Is Cincinnati more of a cultural hub than Columbus in terms of if you want to make it as a rapper or something?
I would say it's better artists in Cincinnati than it is Columbus.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So on the music side,
Columbus got Ohio State, so
They
Columbus, won up on us with that.
Now, if you want to do a crazy ass show, like you go to Columbus, you do your big shows in Columbus because it's like you have a good fan base up there. But if you just want to do like rap, like you want to be a rap, you know what I'm saying? Cleveland and Cincinnati is like one of the better places to be at if you're doing this music shit for real.
Because we got a nice scene in Cincinnati as far as the artists.
Right.
There's a lot of artists coming up from Cincinnati right now.
Yeah.
For
what was the first rap show you ever went to? Were you guys going to rap shows growing up?
No.
I know, right? Isn't that funny? Yeah. That you guys play shows. I help put on shows, all this shit. But growing up, I didn't really go to that many rap shows.
I went to a Waka Flocka show, but that's only because it was at the club.
Oh, yeah. See, there you go. That's what's up.
It was at the club, and I went to a Waka Flocka show. Yeah. And then, like, Gucci Mane was next door.
Club performances are tight. I remember seeing, like, the Dog Pound at a club one time, and they were just standing on a sofa, and it was really cool.
Before I became who I am, I went to the only concert I could say I went to was Lil B. When Lil B came to Cincinnati.
Really?
That was, like, one of the only concerts that I went to.
Yeah, because when you're young, like, for a lot of people, it's like, you go to concerts, like, that's like a pilgrimage. Like, you don't really do that very often. You might do it once a year or some shit.
That's when he made Swag Like Ohio. I was in that bitch.
Swag Like Ohio.
So that meant a lot to you?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Do you guys remember when Cameron came out with the Of course.
Of course. Okay.
Was that big for you, too?
He talked about Cincinnati in that song, too. He talked about Columbus.
I used to get it in Ohio.
He's just naming off every single city.
If you know I know, you better lie low. Mm-hmm. Why? I used to get it in Ohio.
But what is that? Everybody seems like they have some sort of like drug dealing story related to Ohio.
It's a lot of money. Ohio is drug in Ohio. Home. Yeah, like it's a lot of.
That's what a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, like if you don't know, if you really get money, you do know that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But if you're not really
the average
trapping,
Joe, they don't.
No.
I never sold drugs in Ohio. I don't know. I'm an average Joe.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You don't know. But if you really get money, you know you can get money in Ohio. Exactly. Like a whole lot of.
Why is that? Is just a lot of good customers or what?
It's like the fact that we close to Kentucky.
Yeah.
You hear me? So a lot of them country boys come up and shop.
Yup. And plus niggas got money to spend, man. Okay. Niggas get their money, you know what I'm saying? It's not like you in a major city where you spending it on this flashy shit.
Right.
You really just spending it on one or two things, man.
Drugs and pussy.
Mainly drugs, though.
Niggas buying pussy.
Yeah, niggas
not
buying
me,
pussy.
But it's niggas.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't buying no pussy. But it's like,
hell no.
You ever have a girl try to charge you for some pussy? You just start talking to her, and then all of a sudden you realize this is a business negotiation?
Definitely.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
I mean, it's slow for her.
I ain't spending
It's slow for her. It's not happening. It's super slow.
Yeah, it's weird because you feel like that's just more of a challenge. Like no. I got to convince you. You're doing this for free.
Oh, yeah.
You definitely doing it for free.
You got me fucked up. I'm the wrong kind of guy.
I'm definitely not issuing no cash before
I'm
get some
head. I'm going to haggle you down. I'm going to get a coupon. 40% off coupon. I'm going to bring that in. I'm going to be like, you got to hook me up for the deal here. Yeah, what if it was just really inexpensive? What if it was like
it's $15? $15.
I'd be scared as fuck.
$15 for the puss.
I don't even want that.
Definitely burning.
Yeah. How did you guys lose your virginity? Speaking of.
Shit, boy. On some crazy shit.
Important questions.
I'm gonna let you start.
I actually remember. I lost my shit when I was 12 years old. I was hooping.
SMH. Maddox's age.
I hooped from my middle school type shit. And but all our games is to be at like the high school. Mm-hmm. So like before the game, one of the little cheerleader bitches that like cheered for the high school.
Like a grown one, like a 16-year-old or something?
Nah, she was only like 14, 15.
Okay.
And basically she was just like, oh yeah, let's go to my crib. I gotta grab some shit from my crib. Can you walk me to the crib? But it was way before my game, cause you know, the middle school games used to be on some like weird shit. We went there right to school.
Right.
So I basically followed her or whatever. We went to her crib or whatever. We was kicking into this shit or whatever, and she was like looking for some shit called Spankies. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck that was.
Spankies?
Yeah, they like, I guess they like the underwear they wear under their like cheerleading skirt shit.
Oh, okay.
She was looking for a Spankies or whatever, and then like...
Well, I never knew that. I never knew that was a term.
Yeah, so I'm in there just chilling or whatever. And then she was like, oh, can you help me look for him? So I went upstairs into a room, and I'm chilling. I don't know how I'm supposed to look for something when it's not my crib.
And you don't know what it is, even
so,
barely.
Basically, she take a shower or whatever, come out the shower, she in her towel.
She came out ass naked, did she?
Nah, she came out in her towel, but like when she was like looking for a bra and shit, like her towel dropped on some movie shit. Tits out,
porn scene.
You know what I'm saying? But you know, I'm a young niggas, but I'm still respectful. And you know what I'm saying? So I'm kind of like looking away. Like,
she was white.
Like, hell no. The fuck? I mean, I ain't racist.
I don't know. Just in my mind, I guess in my mind, cheerleaders are white.
Because I grew up around white cheerleaders. But she wasn't white. She was black for sure. But
that's cool.
Yeah, not on her towel drop or whatever. And I kind of look away. I'm like, nah. She was like, oh, you never seen no titties before? I'm like, what? Hell yeah, I done seen motherfucking titties, nigga. What the fuck? So you know what I'm saying? Like. Basically, one thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just get on my one shit. One thing lead to another. And, y'all know I'm giving it up, man.
Yeah. My shit was straight to the point.
When you're a 12-year-old, you definitely don't know about a condom either, huh?
I mean, I watched hella porn, so it's like I knew what the fuck I was doing. Like,
really? Yes. Nut on her face your first time? Lose your virginity? You're just styling on her?
Definitely not.
I was 13.
Oh, okay. A little older.
My first time, I was 13, nigga. I was in my mama room. I was fucking the bitch in my mama room, nigga.
Oh, it's extra lit.
I got, like, look, it wasn't even, like, none of the dramatic the shit that you were saying. Like, yeah, the dumb big
the
bed.
Dumb
you feel
big
me?
Bed.
Like,
extra cozy. So,
it was going down. You feel me? It ain't shit. You feel me? She leaving shit. My mama come back. My mama find condoms on the side of the bed, her room and shit. I'm gonna start tweaking instantly. Like, who the fuck was in my room? Like, little shit like that and shit. So I'm like, fuck. Like, I'm 13. I'm panicking this shit. Like, I just got my first cell phone. Like, so I'm like, fuck. Like, I'm like, I'm lying and shit. Like, damn, I don't know who that was. Like, and she like, who the fuck else would be in here? Like, it's you. You was in here by yourself, nigga.
Mm. Oh, no, somebody
I get pressed instantly. I'm 13. This bitch, I got like a Nokia little bullshit ass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like Nokia black and white phone and shit. She take my shit. She like, hell no, nigga, you ain't about to be fucking bitches in my house. Punishment and shit. I was
if
like,
I had a 13-year-old kid, there's no fucking way I'm letting him have a phone where he could just do whatever the fuck he wants.
Now tweaking.
Yeah, now your 13-year-old definitely gotta have a phone.
My 9-year-old cousin got a phone.
How else you even
right
gonna
now
connect with him? Motherfucker, kids got iPads.
My 9-year-old cousin know what the fuck Molly and Lane is and shit.
Oh, God. Oh, man, that's so fucked up.
Molly Percocets.
So, okay, let me ask you this. So I did that Rico Reckless interview, and he's sitting here, he's smoking weed and drinking lean in front of his fucking 7-year-old. How do you feel about that?
I mean, it's life.
Is that crazy, though? Is that out of the ordinary to you?
Like, they got access.
I mean,
to
smoking is
media.
Smoking is smoking. It's smoking. So that's just like, whatever. Mm. You feel me? But I mean, like, it's not like his kid was sitting there like, oh, he's sipping drink. You
like, let me
saying
get
yeah
some.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it wasn't like he was asking for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can grow up in a certain way, but I mean, you're going to be a certain way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was weird because at first I was so shocked by it because my parents never let me do shit until I was way older. So, like, the whole idea
and
of
now
me,
look how you is.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
You
it's like they're going to end up how they're going to end up, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so it don't really matter for
I'm
real.
I'm in my
you
20s. My mama still be on my ass.
Yeah, like, you are who you are.
My mom was still like, yelling at me and be like, you wash your hands after I come out of the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
I found that really annoying. I'm like, mom, I'm grown.
Yeah,
man.
I know.
Leave me the fuck
in my life.
Yeah. But you know, the thing about his kid is sitting there watching Maddox videos, Lil Pump, fucking Tay-K.
Shout out Lil Pump.
These little kids love these gangster ass rappers, man.
I mean, they make the best music.
Yeah. Kids know. Kids want to hear the hard shit.
I mean, but even when you was a kid, oh, I don't know how you was a kid. When I was a kid, we listened to the same shit. Lil Wayne, all that shit. Gucci Mane. I love
shout
Gucci,
out Gucci
Mane.
I love like the reason why I fell in love with rap was because I like found gangster rap and just thought it was cool. Like, I didn't know shit about it. I just thought it was tight.
Even the kids that used to fuck with N.W.A. and shit, man. Like, that's just the way of life. Like, all them kids listen to N.W.A., they didn't grow up and be gangsters. Them niggas are still in college. You know what I'm saying? They want to be great motherfuckers. It's like, you listen to, a lot of people don't reenact it. They just like it because it scare them.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's just something they're not living. It's just like they just want to hear about it and feel
they
like it's like
feel
a book
a part.
Yeah, I don't feel a part of it. You know what I'm saying?
Like, sometimes I listen to rap songs and the rapper, they're like pop songs, and the rapper's basically just like listing off gangs and shit, and like listing off his friends, and I'm like, it's so crazy that this is a popular song. Oh, somebody's livin'. It's crazy that's a popular song, you know, because like, what the fuck does the person listening to this know? I only know about a tiny little percentage of what he's talking about, you know. But they go crazy for that shit.
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly.
I don't know. All right, so Rari, give me the backstory about your upbringing and as well as how you got into making music.
I mean, I was when my upbringing, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just, I don't know, normal like street shit for real. Like, I just grew up in the hood, you know what I'm saying? I got three older sisters and shit, raised by my grandma, grew up in Columbus, Ohio. You feel me? Like, everything was just, I feel like it wasn't no different than anybody else. You feel me? Like, same struggles, you know what I'm saying? Fighting all type of little weird shit, like, just growing up, you feel me? But like, the music shit, like, there was no music scene in Columbus at all, like, zero. Like, I didn't even really start fucking with music until I moved to Cincinnati, until I met Lowndes, until I met Mills.
Cause you only been doing it for what, like a year and a half?
Definitely, you know, like a year and a half.
How long you been doing it even? A little
like
longer?
3 years.
Okay.
Seriously.
But I wouldn't even be doing it if, like, I didn't meet these niggas. Because it's like, niggas in my city, like, music making music in my city was like a joke when we was growing up. Mm-hmm. Like, niggas wasn't making beats. Niggas wasn't engineers. You said niggas came to me and was like, nigga, I rap. I'd be like, man, get the fuck out my face. Nigga, yeah. You broke. Like,
there were a couple people in that scene or in that community who, like, knew how to go get a studio, knew how to record, knew how to make beats, then there probably would be more of a scene. But when you don't know anybody who's doing that, nobody. It's so hard for you to break through to that, right?
Exactly.
Even before he was doing music, though, he was always, like, around us, like, just soaking up game, like, mm-hmm. getting ready for where he at now.
Right.
You feel me? It's like the fucking damn. I tweaked.
You got a little too excited there.
Yeah, sponsored by Hennessy. Say,
but like
this answer is sponsored by Hennessy.
Like, the whole time he was just always there. You feel me? Just watching me and shit, watching Mills. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Like coming to the shows with us and shit. Like behind the scenes. You feel me? Giving us like advice on like what he think we should like do next. Where right. like, what type of direction we should go in. You feel me? So it's like he always been there even before he was making music. Mm-hmm. It ain't like we picked him up.
Mills. He's phoning in. He wants to be included. Answer it, but hold it up to the mic so we can hear him.
Oh, my phone. Is your server shitty?
He fell off.
Definitely shitty, though.
Oh, yeah, because we in a fucking stone cave in here.
Skirt, skirt. Hey, we on no jumper right now. We got Millie. Where the camera at?
Oh, man, he just called up with a fucking AR. Look at that thing with a big old drum on it. God damn.
Get it in, nigga. Wow. You know, I be giving it up.
You guys ain't playing around out here.
Hey, nah, it's dumb lit. Where the camera at? Can the camera see the AR? I don't know how we giving it up, nigga. Get your ass rocked, nigga. Fuck these niggas. Fire. Hey, yo. I wish you could take a picture of this shit.
I'm always surprised people don't show up to this interview with guns more often.
That's what we should have did. But
they do once in a while.
Like, the Insomniac circle, it's so tight-knit, you feel me? It's like... Mm-hmm. We don't really like allow too many people in.
Okay.
So it's like, even like when he came around, it was just genuine. You feel me? It wasn't like he was coming around, you feel me, like trying to seek something out of it. You feel me? He just genuinely fucked with us. Mm-hmm. And now we got what we got today. Like,
yeah. So when you first put music out, is that stuff that was like that came out online or like the first music that you made, or were you making stuff for a while before you started actually releasing shit?
I had made one song, but like I never put it out. I mean, mm-hmm. I did, but it took like a long time for I actually put it out. You feel me? But like, just the process is just like, you know what I'm saying? Like shooting, like so shot all my videos and mm-hmm. shit. And like, once I got to that point, it was like, all right, like I'm really, really about to take this shit serious. Like,
I remember this nigga used to be in the house practicing melodies and shit. Like,
really?
What you think I should like? Should I fuck with this? Should I fuck with that?
How well, like sound? Different like, flows?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cause it's like. You just don't want to hop in the game and then it's like, oh, this nigga, man.
Nah.
Yeah.
You got to be right. Like, you can't.
Because it's so easy to sound like somebody else or to just be a boring ass rapper. Exactly. You know, it's like, I always encourage people, like, if you're going to, like, I always would hear about Rocky, like, for a couple of years before Rocky came out, that Yams had demos of him and shit and they were working on it, like, for years before he actually put stuff out because they wanted his first look to be something, like, developed, something good, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think makes a lot of sense, yeah.
For sure.
Because you know there's always just random motherfuckers around who are trying to hopping on tracks up. And you're like, you know, you just sound like everybody else. Like, what kind of value are you even bringing to this whole situation?
Definitely got to bring some value.
So when you guys first got in the studio together, what was it like and what's the creative process like?
It was natural. I mean, yeah, I used to always be in the studio mm-hmm. with these niggas all day, every day, every time I made a song. So like when we actually started making music, it was just so natural.
It's easy as fuck.
Yeah, because like, it's like really... I've already like been around. Like, I know the studio environment, you know what I'm saying? So, like, it was nothing to make a song, for real, for real.
Yeah, like, I was so fascinated with rap for my whole life, and now that I actually have experience going to the studio and stuff, that's, like, a whole nother area of fascination because it's such a weird environment.
You get to see it, like,
it's the boys club,
like,
you know? Yeah. And some rappers are amazing, like, in the booth, and they could just one take their shit, and then some rappers are so bad that you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe that people fuck with you and that you're that bad in the booth, but then it sounds pretty good on the track.
That's the thing with me and him, like, we both work super fast-paced. It's like, we don't take that long to actually, like, drop a verse, drop a hook. Mm-hmm. Take, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's
some
the other thing,
take,
too.
Like, an hour.
There's that hierarchy. It's like, if you're the man in the room, like if you're Gucci Mane, you're allowed to take 2 hours on your verse, even though Gucci Mane probably never had
Gucci
to do that.
Probably take like 5 minutes.
Yeah, but if you're at the bottom of the totem pole and you're in the fucking the booth,
yeah, you're just sitting in there taking.
Everybody's sitting around
day,
like, is he fucking serious? He really thinks he deserves a half hour to
you
do
got,
this? You know,
people, you got people in the booth falling, you got people in the stool falling asleep and shit. Like,
always,
this nigga still ain't done.
That's the contest part about it. Who's going to fall asleep and who's going to get wetted?
Yeah.
Who's going to get a bottle of fucking Dasani to the face?
Definitely Splash Cam.
That's
big Splash Cam.
Okay, but what about the studio that you guys first started recording in? Was it like a nice joint or was it a shitty one? And does that affect the quality of your work or how you're doing it, if it's like nice or if it's shitty?
When we first linked up, I was recording at Timeless Music.
Mm-hmm.
That's like one of the best studios in Cincinnati. Then later, I started recording at Tomb Studio. True Sounds, and he used to pull up there a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's what's
up. Yeah, a lot of my early songs. A lot of my early songs, I recorded it in Columbus.
Okay.
Up north in this nigga basement, like a lot of my early shit. And then I had moved up toward Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was recording shit up in Cleveland. And then but I was still recording it in a nigga named Will in his bedroom. Like Southside was recording a nigga bedroom.
Yeah. Really?
You know what I'm saying? Like Southside, Urgent, like all my earlier shit was all recorded in a nigga's bedroom. Like he just was so cold at mixing.
Yeah,
you feel me? Hey, Willie Got Flame, man. Shout out to you, man. You know what I'm saying? Hit my line when you see this, man.
I love
real
that project.
Nigga shit, man. Freight from Cleveland. But yeah,
I feel
that's
one of the most underrated projects that I heard in a long time. That's a big part of why I wanted to do this interview, is to shine more light on that mixtape specifically, because I think that shit is so hard. And
appreciate that.
People didn't go as crazy as they should. Even you got videos on YouTube with half a million almost and shit like that. Yeah.
Videos going crazy. For sure.
Yeah, definitely.
The visual thing is such a big part of it. What was the first video you ever did?
This video called Crazy. Yeah, it was shot by So.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then after that, it was Southside.
He shot some of the footage for that at my show with Uzi.
Really?
Yeah.
Something like Southside, that's such a specific melody. When you're talking about him coming with melodies, that's it's really it sounds you actually went out of your way to make a real song. Is that your approach rather than just sort of winging
it? That's his hood. He had to give his all for that.
And it was with that song, it was I made Southside because it's the thing about music that I didn't like about other artists is everybody was making music, but no one had a foundation.
Mm-hmm. They don't got no story.
Yeah, nobody got a story. It was you see all these new rappers and they so quick to rap about drugs, leans, fucking bitches, all that shit. It's we all do that shit. That's normal nigga shit.
That's real.
But it's where is you from? You talking all this street shit. You talking about taking niggas' chains and robbing niggas. Yeah. But it's
they glorify
where is you doing this at? What
they glorify
you doing
the shit that come
niggas?
With it, the good shit that come with the trap. But they don't talk about, you feel me?
How they even got in the trap.
They don't talk about the
you know what
grimy,
I'm saying?
They feel me, the dirty.
Exactly. And it was to me, I couldn't even be a real artist if I ain't let niggas know that I'm from the south side of Columbus. If I ain't show niggas my hood, if I ain't show niggas my flag, if I ain't show niggas what made Rory, what is Rory, you know what I'm saying? If I ain't let niggas know who that was in the beginning, I feel like I couldn't do it towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
Cause then it's not gonna be real to me. I gotta let niggas know this is Rory, and then everything that come
think
after
you
it
lying.
Is just everything after is just a branch from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm able to make songs used to.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's I'm this, but I can
they
also
know what your foundation is.
Yeah, that was the foundation for sure.
That's what's up. Yeah, I feel like that album too, just sonically, it feels very cohesive, and it feels like you have a certain sound that you wanted to keep sort of consistent throughout it.
Yeah.
And make it have a real feel to it, so it didn't just feel 10 random songs or whatever. It's you feel like you had a vision going into it that you thought would you'd be able to execute, and what was the idea?
The vision behind it was just every single song, I just want to give them another piece of me.
Mm-hmm.
Every single song on there is a true, factual, real part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to the actual lyrics, I'm literally telling you who I am. You know what I'm saying? And I wanted that album to basically be somebody that didn't know who I was. I want somebody to listen to that from the beginning to the end and be like, I know who Rory is.
Mm-hmm.
I know who the fuck this nigga is. I know where he been through. I know where he from. I know what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want niggas to be able to go into be like, oh, is he really this? Is he really that? Did he really do that? Nigga, listen to the music. It's mm-hmm. all in the music. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make sure that every single song that I made, that you were just learning more about me. I'm just not this way for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
I can be anything I want to be, but just know where I came from, you feel me?
Yeah, and so do you feel like you're really putting on for your community and the people that you grew up around and shit?
Definitely, nobody know about Columbus,
Columbus
Ohio.
Columbus don't have no voice. He's the voice for Columbus,
yeah,
Ohio.
I don't toot my own horn. I'm niggas say I'm cocky, but I'm really humble for real when it comes to this shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't even care about ranks or who bigger and who smaller.
Yeah.
But one thing I know I'm doing, I'm putting on for the south side of Columbus. Mm-hmm. And nobody can ever say
you
I'm not. You know
can't
what I'm
duck the fact when you the chosen one.
You feel
from your area.
I got niggas screaming south, so I got niggas screaming 223. You know what I'm saying? Niggas don't even know what that is. You know what I'm saying? That's some shit we used to run around screaming. Mm-hmm. I got niggas throwing up my shit. I got niggas throwing up my gang. Like, niggas don't even know what that shit is, but it's like,
I don't know what that is. I'm confused. Exactly, I see gang signs. I get all scared and shit.
If you see it, man, that's rolling 20s, man.
If
that's
I see that, I duck. Crips, I hit the floor. Yeah. When did you realize you were a Crip? You grew up in that environment, so you always were?
Yeah. Everybody around me, like my neighborhood, I grew up in a Crip neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So everybody, my uncles, my cousins, you know what I'm saying? Like the people I was around was all Crips. So it was like,
it's like a sports team. It's like
you basically, fuck, that's
fuck
crazy
with,
you
I
said
fuck with
that.
The Celtics,
nah,
you know?
That's crazy you said that, right? Because that's really how it was. It was definitely like, I played for the Southfield Crips. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I played, like, when you go to other niggas' neighborhoods, you go to other niggas' sides of town, they ask you, like, man, where you from? You know, I'm like, I'm Southfield. Mm-hmm. I'm from Southfield, Southfield Crip, nigga. Like, niggas already knew. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? I got into it when I was 13 years old.
Really?
You feel me? So it was like, it wasn't even like a change for me. It was almost like me just growing up was just like, it was already molding me to be the person I was already going to be. Like, if you're going to jump off the porch, you only got two options. You're going to jump off the porch and you're going to be some athlete ass nigga. Mm-hmm. Or you're going to jump off the porch streets. And you're going to be in the streets.
But you were trying to do both for a while, right? You were going hard with the basketball shit?
Yeah. I played basketball, but even every basketball nigga I hoop with was gangbangers, nigga. Mm-hmm. Like, every nigga I hoop with was in, a lot of them went to jail for murder. Niggas I was with. Hooping, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I ain't playing no sports.
It was all the same shit. Like, the gang shit and the sports shit was the same shit where I'm from. Like, just because you hoop don't mean you was like some good person. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a nigga was dunking, and then on the weekend we was in 3599 shooting that bitch up. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, exactly. It was all the same shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't really matter for real. Like, we already knew how to hoop, so of course you're going to hoop for the team, nigga.
What if you get put on a basketball team and then they have a red uniform?
Huh? Nah, my high school had a red uniform.
Really? Is that
hard
for you?
Our colors was red and white. Nah.
Okay.
Now to think about it, because it's like, I got bloods in my family. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got cousins that's bloods, too. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If you, where I'm from, the south side, if you cross the tracks, that's all bloods. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, but them still was my niggas. It's not like we wasn't beefing on blood and Crip. Mm-hmm. It's just that the neighborhood I was from was Crip.
It's
the
more like
they was
a
from
brother.
Was
it's more like a brotherhood thing.
You know what I'm saying? 223 ain't all Crips. 223s is Bloods and Crips. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But Southfield is Crips. Mm-hmm. You feel me? So it's like that's the difference in between the two.
But you are like still repping real hard for where you came from, like with the album cover and everything. Obviously, you can't look at that without thinking like, oh, he's representing for.
Oh yeah.
Crips shit. It's like, what made you decide that you wanted to like represent with that on the mixtape cover?
Because I've been represented for it. Like, you know, kind of you were saying earlier, it's like that's the team I play for. Yeah. Like, if I've always been on the Lakers, I'm going to let niggas know I'm still a Laker.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if I've always been a Crip since I was 13, it was like, niggas know what it is. Like, I don't want niggas to ever think in their life that, like, I got to a certain point and I forgot where I came from, or I forgot, you know what I'm saying, like, the foundation of it all, like, that got me to this point. You feel me? Like, that is still all extremely relevant to me. Like, this wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that.
Mm-hmm.
For me, because like that gang shit, niggas look at it as just like some killing, stealing, robbing and shit. But that shit was a community thing. We got a shit called the Southfield Reunion, where the whole community come together. You know what I'm saying? It's barbecues. It's the OGs. It's the kids. It's everything. Like, this is some community shit. You feel me? Like, this isn't some like robbery gang right. shit. Like, this is some legit.
That's just like one
shit.
Part of it is people having to sort shit out like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, if you getting money, you know what I'm saying, you know, it's always gonna be problems.
Yeah,
always.
People shooting each other at the end of the day is like indicative of like the community being so insular that like they don't call the cops. They deal with their problems like between themselves, you know.
Exactly.
You
know? Exactly. And that's
for
exactly
better
or
for worse.
Is.
I'm not saying it's a good thing, but
the police.
And just because niggas doing this rap shit don't think it's sweet at all.
Well, someone just FaceTimed us that you're good friends with a gigantic gun over their shoulder. So yeah, I guess it's not sweet. You know,
it's not.
I was like, is he gonna
niggas
shoot me through the phone?
Hands,
or what?
Yeah, niggas still throw them hands for sure.
Believe that.
So were you disappointed in your No Jumper interview because you felt like you couldn't say anything because you were still dealing with the case?
Yeah, like I got out of jail, nigga, like 2-3 days before that shit.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah, I got out of jail like 2-3 days before my No Jumper interview.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were still like shook up.
Yeah, like because I had came out here because only reason I came out here was to link with you and because I had a show in Oakland after. For sure.
That's crazy because like when you're in that jail mentality, it's like you're just scared of shit. You're like, I just don't want to go back in there. I don't want to talk about any bad thing I ever did.
I didn't want to talk about shit for real. I was like,
yeah. That's kind of sketchy, man. I mean, it's like a fine line. I always got people being like, "Oh, you're the feds because of some shit you asked or whatever."
That shit was garbage, bro. You don't like it? I was only. That's the longest that I've been locked up. It wasn't shit. Like,
how long was it?
Like,
a couple weeks or something?
Nah, hell no. I was in there 3 months.
Oh, three months.
I missed out on the tour and shit. I missed out on the tour. I was supposed to go on tour with Uzi and 21 Savage. Missed that and shit.
That's brutal.
But I fucked up hella shit back going to jail.
That was a while. That was like before Uzi and 21 were where they are now, yeah, too. Because I remember even like a year ago or something, like going to fucking 21 shows with like fucking 100 people around here and shit.
I used to be in jail every day having the most crazy ass dreams, bro. Like, I used to be having dreams that I was out and shit, like just tweaking, bro. I used to wake up pissed, bro. Like, I used to wake up soddy.
Wow, that's scary.
I used to wake up like, ain't shit happened to me in jail. I was in there taking niggas commissary, you feel me, holding niggas for the phone, all type of shit, you feel me.
How do you hold somebody for the phone? Walk up, just take it out of their hand, or what?
Like, nigga, get the fuck off the phone, nigga. You've been on this shit already like 10 minutes. What the fuck is you doing, bro? Every person got a 15-minute limit. Mm-hmm. I used to be going over the 15 minutes. I ain't give a fuck. I was calling my mama, calling my bitch, nigga.
That's a hierarchy.
I was calling my manager and shit, making sure he had shows set up for me for when I got out. I ain't give a fuck.
Yeah, the jail shit, like, it's all like who's got the most control over that situation, yeah,
and,
huh?
Like, me being from Ohio, I was locked up in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. So the nigga who was like in charge of the pod that I was in, like the main nigga, he was in there for a murder. And he was from Cleveland, Ohio. So it's like he took me under his wing. Mm-hmm. You feel me? He looked out for me. He made sure, you feel me, everything was 100.
That's what's up.
So I ain't had no worries when I was in that bitch.
Yeah. So with this project though, like, how did you start conceiving it? Like, when did you start working on it? And like, when did you wrap it out? It came up like 2 months ago. How long did you work on it for? Like, what was the creative process?
I've been working on it. I mean, a lot of the songs, a couple of the, like the first, like maybe like the first 4 or 5 songs, were just like shit I've been had made. But then the ending of it was like recent, mm-hmm. like a lot of the recent music that I was making.
Well, when it's like your first big project, it's kind of like you have all this energy from like your whole life stored up in you, sort of, right?
Yeah, basically.
Which I think is kind of crazy because it's like on your second project, it's like, okay, you just have the year or the 6 months or however long you had to work on it. But like if you've really been, you know, thinking about rapping your whole life, your first big project is like the big release of like everything from when you were a kid and shit.
It's crazy because it's like, I wasn't really thinking, like, I never actually thought when I was younger I was going to be a rapper. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know what the fuck I was going to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just wanted to just get out the situation I was in. That's all I was worried about. Like, how the fuck I'm going to make it out of Columbus. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because this is not where I'm trying to be. It's not where I'm trying to spend the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You tried going to college for a little bit there, though, didn't you?
Yeah. For a little bit, but it didn't work out.
You hated it?
I wouldn't say I hated it. There's some parts of it that I
like.
He loved
that shit.
Yeah, like I
what, the girls
was loving
shit?
That shit. Yeah, like the hoes and shit. Like that was like the greatest part.
What college did you go to?
Cincinnati.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, what are the girls like at a college like that? Like, are they like, you know, burning their bras and they're growing out their armpit hair? That's how I'm imagining them.
Nah.
That's always what I hear about college these days, is that the kids are like, crazy.
I mean,
them hoes was on go.
They was fucking.
Okay.
It was lit.
Yeah.
It was super lit. And it was like, there was so many corny ass niggas there. It was it was like, bro, I was maneuvering through there like
when
I was
shit. When he went to college in Cincinnati, bro, I used to hate, like when we used to go to the college events and shit, bro, I used to hate the niggas, bro. Like the niggas used to be so fucking corny and shit, bro. They used to be in there hating, cock blocking and shit because we was outside niggas and me. We used to be in there insomniac up, like, 10 deep and shit. You feel me?
Crazy.
Taking they little bitches and shit. Like, so they used to be in there hating.
They need
like,
a thug. They don't know it yet, but they need a thug.
Oh, right? Exactly. They ain't want no cornball ass nigga.
That's
they
what I hate. Like, anytime I've like been to a college like for riding bikes or whatever the past couple years, and I'm just like looking at like the fucking college age dudes walking around, I'm just like, yo, you suck. Like, I hate you.
These
like,
hoes
what the
don't
fuck is your problem?
Nah. They want a nigga with a bankroll.
Yeah, you can't, because when you're young and you haven't accomplished anything for your life with your life yet and shit, you should just accept that like you're not allowed to get any pussy until you get older and you get a job, start making some money, start doing something, get a little clout or something. Like if you're 18 and like you should just accept that it's just not gonna happen and just leave all the girls to like, you know, the lawyers and shit.
Like us.
I know that must hurt so bad. You ever had a girl that you were fucking with and she leaves you for a lame and you're like just like offended?
That's literally a song I got.
I know it is. Yeah. As it came out of my mouth, I realized I was quoting that.
That's
wasn't conscious.
A song I got.
And now she fuck with lames.
And now she fuck with lames.
Baby, one of them niggas just go, you feel me? let them soak up all their time, bro. Mm-hmm. Niggas like us don't got time for that shit, bro. Yeah.
But are you more comfortable being the side dude?
Definitely.
Like, let her spend most of her time with this guy who works at Foot Locker, and then you'll swoop in Friday night, pick her down.
She'll get hella great.
She gonna pull up on Friday at 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your job is just to make the other guy look bad.
Definitely. I don't even care about making him look bad. As long as she fucking and sucking, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. You take her on dates, love her.
He can do all this shit I'm not gonna do.
Do all that great shit. I'm still out here.
So you're not scared that... You're not scared of being single? You don't feel like you need to have that like emotional support or whatever? Or do you get that from your bros?
Hey, I ain't getting no emotional support from my bros.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, come on. Why not?
I end up punching one of my niggas. They trying to give me
some. Everybody needs something to, somebody to talk to.
Emotional support.
What's wrong with that?
I don't even know what that means.
A shoulder to cry on, per se?
It's slow.
I won't even cry on a bitch shoulder.
Yeah, I don't know about no emotional man support.
Okay, but you know what? This is the thing. This is the scary part about that line that you have is when you say, and now you fuck with lames or whatever. It's like, are you scared that you were sharing your life with her and now she's out here hanging out with fucking Dylan and she's telling Dylan all this real shit that you put her
like
on?
Even with the shorty I was fucking with, like I was fucking with her for a minute, but then like basically our lives was just changing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then she took a different route. And then when she took her different route, you feel me, like... You would think she'll get like a nigga that was like kind of like me, but it's just like on like a higher scale.
But they might want to go in the other direction and get themselves a weirdo.
Like straight cornball. Mm-hmm. Like I'm gonna get a cornball safe nigga.
That's the
like I
want to
get like a security safe nigga. I don't want a wild nigga.
Like,
you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, you know, some chicks they love that wild shit, but then once they get done with it, it's like I just need something different.
Yeah, they start to think, oh, maybe my mom's right. Maybe I shouldn't be fucking with a guy like Insomniac Rock.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, maybe I should fuck with a guy like Dylan, you know?
Maybe.
Robert, yeah.
Fuck Dylan.
Fuck Dylan. Yeah. Fuck Robert. Dylan ain't on that gang shit.
Pussy ass nigga.
But what if but that's the whole problem. What if the girl then is all of a sudden pillow talking to Dylan? She starts telling Dylan about your plug. She starts telling Dylan about...
Oh, no, my straight don't know who my plug is. It's extra slow.
Oh, you keep that quiet? See, my girl knows everything about me. She knows all this fucked up shit about me. She could piece together everything.
My shorty would know shit about me, as in, like, she know what the fuck going on. Like, she know how I'm giving it up and shit, but it's like... She not gonna know the specifics. You know what I'm saying? Like, just
the
you can't
detail.
Put you can't put your shorty in a situation where it's like, if it come down to it, she could say too much.
She in the crossfire.
Yeah, like you can't put her in a crossfire. Like it's better that she know a little less. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I learned my lesson with that shit.
So let's be serious. You say you have a girlfriend, you get into a shootout. It goes in a way that you're not so happy about. Maybe you got to do something you're not too proud of. Is that something you're sharing with your girl?
I mean,
and we're getting deep right here, by the way.
I mean, it's she gonna know about it.
Okay.
You get into a shootout, you know what I'm saying? Your shorty gonna know if that's really your shorty. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, she gonna know you got into a shootout. Like, she gonna know who did
it.
But
if them police come,
it's slow.
And she fall under pressure, slow for her.
It's actually slow.
She chopped.
See, that's the thing, though, is that, like, I trust my girl and everything, but once she gets in that room with those investigators, I don't know, a lot of people crack under that pressure.
Yeah, man. You know, police, they get the line, you know what I'm saying? Start spitting out. Oh,
the good cop, bad cop
shit. We're
going to
give you 20 years if you don't tell. Your shorty got to know they're not going to actually give you 20. Like,
they never.
Your shorty got to know the system, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, they going to scream this, that, and the third so you would tell, but she got to stay solid. Like,
you actually tell your girl now, before you get into that situation, yo, if I ever kill someone, you can't tell the cops. You got to be quiet when they call you in. Low key, just don't tell them that.
Don't say shit. Hey, yeah. You don't even know what the fuck they talking about.
You don't know shit. Yeah, be totally quiet. Don't say a damn thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Quiet.
Man, we just got real deep there. We're like, all of a sudden, we're planning out our future crimes and everything.
I ain't planning out.
That's
shit.
How
I
be sometimes.
I'm not planning out no future crimes.
No, yeah, exactly. So are you still on some crazy probation or something?
Nah, I'm off.
Oh, you're totally off?
Yeah, I'm off. Fuck my Pia. Fuck that bitch.
So you never have to see her again?
Fuck that bitch, Pam, nigga.
Pam.
Yeah, her name was Pam. She was a bitch, too.
Pam.
She kept trying to lock me up, nigga. Fuck that bitch.
Was she really? She was hating?
Yeah, she was hating for sure.
Because a lot of times I end up hearing from rappers who have like cool probation officers that seem like they kind of understand.
She is a bitch.
Really?
She is a bitch.
Damn,
she
Pam.
She used to be on my ass.
That sucks.
My lawyer, he was trying to like keep it low key, like that I was a rapper and shit.
Oh.
Then she found out. Then it was tweet after that. Like,
so what'd she start doing?
To, like,
Start digging around in the social media?
Like, not even that. Just, like, she'd call up hella random times just trying to figure out where I'm at and little shit like that. Like, right. Because I was still, like, I technically wasn't supposed to leave the Midwest.
Uh-huh.
But I'm like, I still got shows.
Yeah.
I'm moving around.
So, what, you got to break out for the night or whatever?
What'd you say?
Like, when you go on tour, you guys break out for the night and hope you don't get caught? Or, like, because I'm always dealing with Chapo, and Chapo's always having to report in before he comes here for the weekend and
for
shit.
For sure. That's how it was.
Yeah.
Definitely. Shout out to Chapo, man.
Shout out to Chapo. Shout out to Cleveland.
Yeah. Thank God.
Another shout out to Doughboy, too.
Yeah, yo. Shout out Doughboy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shout out to Doughboy, man.
Yo, you know who you might want to sign to Insomniacs is that motherfucker Lands.
Who?
You know who I'm talking about?
He from Cincinnati.
Yeah, he's an Ohio Cincinnati. Boy, yeah.
Yeah, man, that's a wild boy.
That's royalty right there, man. That's the next draft pick coming out of there. That's like your take.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
He did an interview with... The chick that like run our radio station, Nella D.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did a good interview.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he did a
good
interview.
Check that out.
Check that out, definitely.
Yo, he's a fucking hooligan, man.
Yeah, he crazy as fuck.
He was talking to me. He goes, "Yo, what do you think would cost less, driving to LA or taking a flight?"
And I'm like, "Man, he trying to get the interview."
I know, and I'm thinking, I'm like, "Man, you really don't know shit if you're asking him." I'm like, "Get a flight, bro."
He need to get the no jumper.
Hey, before we continue this interview, I just want to say shout out to Tooch, man. Shout out to my little brother Tooch, man.
Insomniac
Tooch, man. I love you, bro. G-shit, man.
Well, as long as you're going to say that, I want to say nojumper.com is a great place to go buy some t-shirts, lighters, SoundCloud, chains, fake Gucci merchandise, et cetera, et cetera. No Jumper branded merchandise. I don't have any of it on right now, but you guys know the general idea.
We need all that before we leave.
I got you. Actually, I don't know if we have any of that here. So who do you guys fuck with in terms of like historical Ohio rap figures? Is there anyone that you actually give a fuck about?
Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Okay,
yeah,
there
Bone
you go.
Thugs.
Yeah, that's important.
For sure.
Definitely.
Is that the main one?
That's like top tier. Kid Cudi.
Yeah, okay. Kid Cudi. I don't really listen to Kid Cudi though.
I just performed at MGK's his festival that he threw.
Yeah.
The EST Fest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I performed at that.
How was that?
It was cool. It was lit.
Yeah.
His fan base is crazy.
He has a huge fan base out there is wild as hell, probably.
Oh yeah, Ohio. Yeah, hell yeah. MGK. His shit's crazy out there.
That's tight. I did the Andy Dick interview. You know who he is? He's like an actor. That's okay. But I did the interview with him, and then they were like, "Yo, we're going to MGK's house." I'm like, "All right." And they never called me back. I was like, I was ready to go. I'm like, "Yeah, I'll go."
Yeah, pull it up.
I'm going to MGK's house real quick. Sounds great. What artists do you guys actually listen to?
Young Nudy.
I know. I heard you pull up with that plan.
Chief Keef.
Yeah, Keef.
Future.
Yeah, Future. That was like of course.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I listen to Trippie Redd.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Trippie.
Ohio, man.
Another
shout
Ohio
Trippie
boy.
Red, man.
Another Ohio nigga.
Oh, yeah, there you go, actually. Ohio is like low-key, like a hip-hop hub, huh?
We on the way.
Nah, it's hella, man. It's so much talent, Ohio. Niggas don't even know. Like, once this shit really, like, bursts and really, like, really branch out, like, niggas really going, like, motherfuckers really, 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 really going to find out. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so much talent in Ohio. Like, it's crazy.
But, you know, it's weird. It's like when somebody blows up out of Chicago, it's like everybody talks about the fact they're from Chicago. But when a dude blows up Ohio, it's like people tend to kind of sweep that under the rug. Don't really discuss it as much.
Because think about the niggas that blow up from Chicago is that, like, some niggas is, okay, a lot of niggas in Chicago, they really, really, really on that gang shit.
Mm-hmm.
And when you really on that gang shit, like, it's niggas that you join that gang with.
Mm-hmm.
So when you blow up, you put them niggas, you put your gang members on. You know what I'm saying? That's why niggas found out about so many other Chicago artists.
It was like
that
a
nigga
domino
blew
effect.
Up, he put his niggas on because you find out about him, you find out about his brother, his cousin, his,
like,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, how was it? Chief Keef, Fredo, Lil Reese,
because these is niggas that was really Apple. Around. Think
rest
about Ohio.
Definitely.
You
rest
got some
peace.
Niggas from Ohio that'll blow up. You know what I'm saying? That's not ganging. You know what I'm saying? They just had friends, but it wasn't like no artists or no shit. But then you got niggas that still like in the streets that just haven't blew up.
Mm-hmm.
That's why this Insomniac shit is so special. Because it's like we got niggas around us that's extremely talented.
Mm-hmm.
So when
super
this shit,
talented.
Yeah, so when this shit take off, it's like you going to see more. It's a lot of light going to spread onto Ohio because it's like you going to hear about all these great artists, all this motherfucking like great music that's coming up out of there. You feel me?
So much.
Yeah. Hey, so what do you feel like you need to accomplish with your next project after this one? Like, are you already thinking about it?
Of course. I'm always making music.
Okay.
Always.
What do you think like might be the thing that you want to express or like get across as opposed to this first project? Like
See, the first project was the foundation, but the second project is just letting niggas know that like I'm really in this for real.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm really, really, really doing this music shit. And it's like, I'm still playing around my sound. Mm-hmm. I'm still kind of letting niggas know, like, I'm just not like a Southside, you know what I'm saying, like song type of artist. Mm-hmm. Like, I can do a little bit of everything.
Well, you think you could have potentially got pigeonholed off of the way that that song sounded? Pigeonholed mean like people put you in a box, like they think everything's gonna sound like that one song.
Exactly. It's like, it's a lot of niggas that want me to make words. Songs that's just like Southside, but it's, mm-hmm. like, it's like I got a lot of different type of styles that I got to offer. So it's like, that's like what this new tape is definitely gonna show.
He need to like take this shit that he doing right now, but just put it on the, like, he need to put it on a higher level, but also let the people know that the success that he's gained hasn't changed him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You dropped a video the other day. You still got shit dropping all the time. What's what you been up to lately, Lambs? Like, in terms of your recent output?
Shutting down these hoe ass labels.
Really?
Offering this bullshit. Feel me? Come with the big check. Don't talk to me.
Well, they be offering real shitty numbers.
Definitely, because these hoe ass niggas be selling their fucking soul for $30,000 and shit.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Man, I heard about some big name rappers, freshman cover ass motherfuckers who signed for less than that.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like if they know they can sign niggas that got this type of brew or this type of this for this amount of money, mm-hmm. they looking at you like, well, if I can get this type of artist for 20 racks, then I only can give you about 10. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that's the rap game, like the trap game. You know what I'm saying? Like, if niggas is copping loud for 4 racks, and they looking at you like, oh, you like mid for real. I'm gonna give you like 2 racks. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's like, I'm not though. Like,
right.
Like, I'm but packed for real.
That's a crazy thing, like, though, as a rapper, is if you think about what you're really doing, is you're just trying to build yourself up so that when you do decide to get with a label, because let's face it, if you really are gonna have a full length career, at a certain point, you do pretty much have to get with a label, you know? So it's like, you just wanna get shit so advanced on your own that when it comes time to have that conversation, and you're talking about at least like 6 figures. And not that little money.
Like, I feel like the whole Insomniac mob, not even like us as a whole, but each individual member is worth millions of dollars alone.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
Easy.
Because everybody in Insomniac mob is actual quality. Mm-hmm. Quality. Definitely. And actually has a story.
Definitely.
And can actually, you feel me, like build a cult following, not just some overnight fame, overnight success, and it's gone tomorrow.
Yeah, like, this ain't no goofy shit. Like, this all real shit. We just, you know what I'm saying? Like, we might not have the biggest markets. We might not attract all the kids. You feel me? But it's like, you tap in. If you want to listen to some real shit, you want to listen to some shit that, like, can really carry you along, this is it.
I saw about that, like, development, too, though. It's like, you can't really expect that, you know, maybe it doesn't happen in year one, year two, year three of your career, but you got to just keep doing it, because there's so many people in rap that, like, now we look at them and they're popping. It's like, maybe we only knew about them for a year or two, but they were doing jack shit in their hometown for 5 years, getting used to making songs and shit, you know?
Exactly.
It's like, a lot of people in rap, like, they end up getting fucked up because they put together one video, they think the video is hard. And then the video gets 2,000 views, and then they just don't know what to do. You know, they're just like, even 2,000 might be a little liberal. You know?
Yeah, just never give up, man. Mm-hmm.
Never.
Whoever you is, man, just never give up, man. Like, if niggas keep telling you this shit not for you, man, don't listen to them motherfuckers, man. Just never give up, man.
You guys ever have a hard time sleeping? Is that what the Insomniac thing's about, or what?
Yeah.
That's what it is. It all started, I used to, I got kicked out of my mama's house. I used to go over to my grandma's house. You feel me, kick it over there. I used to sleep on my grandma's futon and shit. I used to stay up super late. Mm-hmm. You remember the late night Insomniac show that Dave Attell used to host on Comedy Central?
Yeah,
like, that's when I first found out. Like, that's when I first was like, damn, I'm about to run with this for real. Like, I'm up late watching. I don't even know why I'm 12, 13 years old, like, up watching this shit. Like,
you know, it's funny you mentioned Dave Attell, because he told me that I looked like a fucking skinhead or something.
I need him to host my mixtape.
I walked by, like, he was doing comedy, and I walked by to use the bathroom at this club in New York, and then when I was walking back, I'm, like, going up the stairs, and I just hear him, and he's like, you see that fucking guy with a tattoo on his head? He looked like a damn skinhead or some shit like that. And I'm like, I'm already walked up the stairs. I'm like, damn, I just got roasted.
Yeah.
That was it. I'm like, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna go back there and like try to argue with him or something.
Shut up.
I don't know what I'm talking about. So, do you actually think it's like a pretty big deal that you got a No Jumper interview? Are you hyped? I saw you were like pretty hyped on Twitter, and then I was hyped.
Yeah,
I'm like, fuck yeah, that's sick.
Definitely, because it's like I said, bro. Like, I'm from a small city in Ohio.
Right.
Like, it's a lot of niggas that can't even point my city out on a fucking map.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is a simple fact that like I came from that. I jumped over all them obstacles, and it's like I'm even here right now to even do this shit. Like I said, like I'm extremely humble to that shit. Like I appreciate everybody that fuck with me when it comes to this music shit, cause like I haven't been doing this shit for that long. Like I could have dropped all this music and everybody could have looked over this shit. Everybody could have heard everything I made and been like, oh, he just another one of them niggas.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but y'all didn't. Like, but you didn't.
I recognize there's something special when I first heard your shit, you know?
Exactly.
I actually valued the quality.
Yo, in that one video, though, I feel like you were showing love to, like, all kinds of people that you have, like, friendships with. Like, you got Smoke Perp in the video, and you got, like, Boop Boy, Icy, Quincy, yeah, all these guys.
Icy, Ohio nigga.
Icy from Ohio, too.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, Chapo was in there.
Chapo in that shit. That was tight. I like that video a lot.
Yeah, what they saying.
Yeah.
What they saying, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I shot that down at South by Southwest.
We was fucking South by Southwest up.
Yeah, no, that was a crazy.
That's how I met you, at the one,
two years before
that or whatever. Yeah. That's actually like the first time that I ever went to anything that it, like, people kind of knew who I was, and I was like fucking weirded out by it. Like everywhere I went, there's like motherfuckers trying to talk to me and shit. But yeah. Yeah, man. So that's a plan. You guys got any touring plans? The next mixtape is potentially in the works. You planning on putting on a tape?
Yeah, my next project that I'm about to drop is called 12 AM.
Okay.
Yeah. So getting that together right now.
Going with the Insomniac theme. Yeah, staying up late. For midnight.
Sure. Shit get crazy at the 12 AM.
But that bothers me is that it's like if it's 6 a.m. is that, you know, I always want to say it's 6 a.m. of the day, like, that it was before.
Yeah.
Because it's so confusing to be like, even right now, it's about to be Friday morning.
Basically.
But that doesn't sound right to me.
Nah, it's still the same day.
It's Thursday night until I go to sleep.
Yeah,
that's how I feel. It's not the next day until I go to sleep and wake up.
And especially, man, that's once you get used to doing the studio thing. That'll ruin your whole fucking life because you just be in there until 7, 8 in the morning and shit.
I was in the studio with Eddie Baker till 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. like last week. I got home. I ain't go to sleep till like 10 a.m.
Yeah. Do you guys, like, when you're in the studio though, what's your preferred mind state? You guys don't smoke in the studio? Do you be drinking lean in the studio?
I need lean and Hennessy.
Yeah.
Always? Both together?
I drink.
Either or.
Oh, like either or. Okay. Yeah.
Nah, I just drink. I drink a lot of liquor.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But I just drink. I just play a lot of beats. All the lights off. Just work.
You know what's the best studio drug?
What?
Adderall.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
You know, I can't take that. It makes my heart feel like it's going to explode.
Sad B. You be moving fast as fuck. Like, you be thinking, hell.
Yeah. That or Vyvanse.
I feel like if I took Adderall, that I'll start working really, really hard. And then, like, after, like, an hour or two, I'll kind of, like, cool off and start to hate the shit that I was making, you know? Like, I get real critical and stuff. Start judging myself. Yeah, I don't know. I like the lean in terms of, like, if I was a rapper, which I'm not, I think, like, the lean would, like, help me relax and shit. I can kind of, that makes sense to me that people like that for recording.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. All right, you guys want to give any shout-outs? Let us know about anything else that we need to know about, any shows, anything?
Shout-out to the whole Ohio. Shout-out to every member of the Insomniac Mob, Gelati. Shout-out Mills. Shout-out Cook LaFleur. Shout-out Gussie, you feel me? Shout-out to Rari, you feel me? Shout-out to, shout-out John. 223 shout outs.
You already know, man. Shout out to 223, man. Shout out Shaq Cat. You know what I'm saying? Big Stakes Dog, man. Big Ant, man. Shout out to the whole 223, man. I love y'all, nigga. Vontae Strick, all them niggas, bro.
Hey.
Gee shit.
Appreciate that shit, bros. It was nice having you guys come through. Really appreciate it. Everybody at home, make sure you check these guys out on SoundCloud and shit. Check out their videos on YouTube. As far as No Jumper, check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, and iTunes. Thank you guys very much.
Insomniac.
Peace.
Insomniac. Crown right, do the damn right. Skirt.